You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to In the Benny Green Archives.
Good afternoon. No problems about the theme this week. The other day, I received an anonymous telephone call from a man who wanted to give me a message without disclosing his identity. The message was simple. When I asked this disembodied voice on the far end of the wire what was animating him, he said, "Don't forget Dorothy Fields." Now, there you have an example of a wasted telephone call. How could anybody forget Dorothy Fields? I even came across two theatre managers and a critic once who'd heard of her. Now, that's real fame. My nameless caller, at least, had his dates right, because if we are to discuss Miss Fields, this is the time. She was born July the 15th, 1905, in a small town in New Jersey. You mean there's another kind? More to the point, she was born into a theatrical dynasty. She was the daughter of that celebrated comic Moses Scanfield, who changed that name into a household one, or at least half of one. Moses Scanfield became Fields of Weber and Fields, a famous comedy duo of a century ago, a kind of Laurel and Hardy with accents. Fields was tall and skinny, and Weber was short and fat, and very intellectual types they were too. Among their productions were Cyrano's de Bric-a-Brac, Hoity Toity, Twirly Whirly, Whoop De Doo, Hokey Pokey, Roly Poly, Higgledy Piggledy and Twiddle Twaddle. Now, anybody curious to know what this team looked like can catch up with an old Alice Faye biopic called Lillian Russell, in which Weber and Fields gallantly attempted the impossible by portraying themselves. The reason they turned up in the Lillian Russell saga was that Miss Russell, who had a silhouette like an hourglass that somebody's just sat on, appeared in one or two of their productions. This one was called Fiddle-Dee-Dee, What Else? And it included this well-remembered song.
I wanna sing about my baby Rosie. You are my posy. You are my heart's bouquet. Come out here in the moonlight. There's something sweet, love, I wanna say. I wanna tell you that your honey boy am waiting. Those ruby lips to greet. Don't be so aggravating. My blushing rosy, my posy sweet. Come out here in the moonlight, there's something love, I wanna say. I wanna tell you that your honey boy am waiting. Those ruby lips to greet. Don't be so aggravated, my blushing rose. My posy sweet, my blushing rosy, my posy sweet.
My Blushing Rosy, originally written for a Weber and Fields show with music by a man called John Stromberg. Now, what happened in that show was that Weber and Fields, known to the profession as Dill Pickle and Bock Heister, took over a theatre costing $1,800 a week to hire. They only had $300 between them, and only the intercession of a Fields relation with the balance kept the project going. Weber and Fields scrubbed out this theatre with their own hands, meaning the hired hands who were working for them. But the whole thing came off, and by the time Miss Russell made her entrance through specially enlarged doors, Webber and Fields were big names. But not a very edifying background for Dorothy Fields to be raised in. Fortunately, there was never anything very edifying about the musical stage, and Miss Fields, together with her brother Herbert, soon learned to find their way around. One of Dorothy's earliest successes was a show called Delmar's Revels, the kind of review where the audience goes into the theatre asking for its money back. It's remembered a day for two reasons. First, because it was the Broadway debut of Bert Lahr, and second, because of one of the songs. Lou Brown of Henderson De Silva and thought of a title for a song and gave it to Bert Lahr, who went to a music publisher and asked for help. The publishers gave the title to a new young team of Dorothy Fields and Jimmy McHugh. Well, the show folded like an old accordion, and down went the song with everything else. But then it surfaced again, and it went into Blackbirds of 1928, and the rest is history.
I can't give you anything but love, baby, that's the only thing I've plenty of, baby, you can dream a while, scheme a while, I'm sure you'll find, oh, 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 happiness, and I guess all the things you've always pined for. Gee, it's good to see you looking swell, baby, with those diamond bracelets Woolworth doesn't sell. Pretty baby, until the lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but love. Gee, you sure look swell, baby, with those diamond braids. Let's old Woolworth never sells, baby, till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything, can't afford a dime.
I Can't Give You Anything But Love, written by Dorothy Fields and Jimmy McHugh. Up to then, McHugh's partners had been people like Irving Mills and Gene Austin, Al Dubin and Clarence Gaskill. But once he started working with Dorothy Fields, enormous hits began to turn up. On the Sunny Side of the Street is one. And it's always seemed to me that Miss Fields picked up that very promising title phrase from a short story by James Joyce, which you can find in a book called Dubliners. Then there was Don't Blame Me, I'm in the Mood for Love. Really big hits. One of my favourites in the old days turned up in a show called The International Review. The year was 1930, and the international part of the billing was, I suppose, justified by the importation of Gertrude Lawrence from England and Carmen Miranda from a bit further southwest. The books reckon that International Review was the start of the Miranda career, but I don't suppose you can blame Fields and McHugh for that. The show remains immortal for Sunny Side of the Street, but it also had this.
I know why I've waited, know why I've been blue. I prayed each night for someone exactly like you. Why should we spend money on a show or two? No one plays those love scenes exactly like you. You make me feel so grand, I wanna give the world to you. You make me understand every foolish little dream I'm dreaming, every scheme. scheme, I'm scheming. I know why my mother taught me to be true. She meant me for someone exactly like you. Exactly like you, you make me feel so grand. I wanna give the world to you. You make me understand every foolish little dream I'm dreaming, every scheme I'm scheming. I know why my mother taught me to be true. She meant me for someone, my baby, exactly like you.
Exactly Like You, one of that first batch of big hits that Dorothy Fields enjoyed with Jimmy McHugh. By 1935, she'd performed a much more difficult feat, getting Jerome Kern to like her. The first thing she did for him was to write the words for Lovely to Look At when they were filming Roberta. Unfortunately, the studio forgot to tell Kern that this was happening, but when he finally saw and heard it, he approved. Kern was no fool, and before long he was stipulating as part of his Hollywood contracts that Dorothy Fields write the words. Well, I come now to an odd episode with a pathetic postscript. Opera in America has never been a popular art, and by popular I mean as in the popular song. Lots of studios tried to make lots of opera singers into bankable film stars, and they all failed. Gladys Swarthout, James Milton, Grace Moore. And in 1935, Pandro S. Berman, saviour of the RKO studios, got this idea that he could turn Lily Pons into a big film star. Actually, you couldn't turn Lily Pons into a big anything, because she stood about 4 feet tall. Still, Berman went on with his plan and made a rotten film about a great opera performer who lacks ambition. This is all fixed up when her husband, a composer and a half-wit, pushes her career to the point where she becomes more famous than he is. She achieves this by appearing in a musical comedy, and everything ends up happily. Now, why an apparently rational man like Pandro Berman should have believed this sort of thing was what the great public was yearning for, I have no idea. But I can say that when I talked to Berman about it, 40 years after the event, he actually went to the cupboard and produced the shooting script, which he stroked the way the Schubert brothers used to stroke chorus girls. After 40 years, Berman wanted to believe in it still. Even when he said to me, with the air of Socrates solving the riddle of the universe, "The American public doesn't want opera." Well, I agreed, the only difference between us being that whereas Berman had to spend all that money to find out, I and 10 million other moviegoers could have told him for nothing. Bits and pieces from the Lily Pons epic survive, mostly the title song.
But if I dream too much, I only dream to touch your heart again. I close my eyes to see your hand, your smile, your joy in loving me. We dance and sing, we steal a touch of spring. I dream of everything we two have known. Have shown. Perhaps I dream too much alone.
I dream too much. As for Miss Pons, she eventually married Andre Kostelanitz, and the reference books say that since then she's been inactive. Although how anybody married to Andre Kostelanitz could be described as inactive, I'm not sure. Anyway, Berman saw the error of his operatic ways, and soon the team of Kernan Fields was involved in its finest hour. But some confusion surrounds the music. Fred Astaire, star of the 1936 picture, asked Kern for at least two pieces that would adapt to modern semi-jazzy choreography. And Kern, whose heart was still half in the Wiener Schnitzel school of songwriting, sank to his boots instead of Astaire's. A young man called Hal Born claimed to have written, or at least rewritten, some of the music, at which Kern, who was never ideal casting for Little Goody Two-Shoes, got tough and insisted that Born not be paid for any of the music. The fact remains that Kern admitted having terrible trouble trying to get the feeling of the old vaudeville tap dancing into this next song. And the fact that he never subsequently published the song in its entirety has led some people to think that maybe Born did write bits of it after all. I don't know why, but I'd like to think he did, if only to deflate that uncomfortable autocratic streak in Kern. Still, this is his year, his centenary year. And when you think of some of the things that are being done to his music in the name of that centenary, you feel inclined to forgive him practically anything. Here is the song that Dorothy Fields put words to, whoever composed it.
Ask anyone up Harlem way who that guy Bojangles is. They may not know who's president, but ask them who Bojangles is. He's in the most entrancing business, in what they call the dancing business. When there's a beat out on the street, whether you go and butter your dough, sister, you know that ain't no one but Bo. Oh, Bojangles of Harlem, you dance such hot stuff. Young folks love you in Harlem. They say you've got stuff. Tough guys rumba out of pool rooms, and kids start trucking out of school. Bojangles of Harlem, the whole town's at your heels, leaving their flats, missing their meals, running like rats, going astray. Throw those long legs out of schoolrooms. Bojangles of Harlem, the whole town's at your heels, leaving their flats, missing their meals, running like rats, going astray. Throw those long legs away.
From the soundtrack of the 1936 Kern picture written with Dorothy Fields, Swing Time. Now that piece was called Bojangles of Harlem, and the fact that in the picture Astaire performed it in blackface inevitably raises the question of whether it did any sort of justice to the original, Bill Bojangles Robinson. Well, Robinson, who died back in 1949, was maybe the most renowned tap dancer of them all, a fact smudged rather than clarified by the fact that most of his international fame rests on his movie duets with Shirley Temple. Robinson was in fact such a big man in his environment that they used to call him not Bojangles of Harlem, but the Mayor of Harlem. Remembered by non-dancing millions as the old grizzled tapper who seemed to spend half his movie life going up and downstairs in the company of Shirley Temple. Reverting to Dorothy Fields, her achievements with Jerome Kern have tended to obscure some of the brilliant stuff she did later with other partners. Having won the Academy Award for The Way You Look Tonight, often referred to by people who remember the picture as The Night You Looked Away, because you see, Fred sang it to Ginger while she had her hair smothered in shampoo. Anyway, having won the Oscar with Kern, Miss Fields was so good that she actually inspired Zygmunt Romberg to write an American ballad, as distinct from a Viennese assault course, closest pages in a book. She also went on to work with Arthur Schwartz in an adaptation of one of those novels whose musicalization signaled the start of a new trend in musicals, where the story and the book began to become more important than the music.
I must try to make the man love me, make the man love me now. By and by I'll make the man happy, 'cause I know how. He must know how badly I want him just as he is. Can I say that if the man asks me, yes, I'll be his? Can I tell the man just how dearly blessed we could be? All the beauty I see so clearly, oh, why can't he? So I pray to heaven above me, pray as the day grows dim, ask away to make the man love me as I love him. Way I've got it bad, and that ain't good. My poor heart is sentimental, Lord, and it's not made of wood. Why can't he see it this way? I've got it bad, and that ain't good. Can I
tell the man just how dearly blessed we could be. All the beauty I see so clearly, above me, pray as the day grows dim, far away, to make the man love me as I love him.
Make the Man Love Me from A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, one of the musicals in Arthur Schwartz's career that he passionately believed right to the end of his life ought to be revived. In 1954, there was another Field Schwartz collaboration, and this one included a device which must always be tempting to writers but holds extreme dangers. That is to incorporate into your own score a once famous and still popular old song. Now, the most notorious example of this I can think of is in Showboat, where Jerome Kern suddenly interpolates After the Ball, one of the biggest hits of all time, and gets away with it because his own melodies in the show were so outstanding. But in 1954, Schwartz and Fields wrote By the Beautiful Sea, and perhaps didn't get away with it. Because taking a dispassionate view of it, there isn't much doubt that the most affecting song wasn't theirs, but something by a long-forgotten man called Wren Shields, who was born back in the lost mists of time in Chicago in 1868. Wren Shields was a writer-actor who graduated from vaudeville to Broadway, but only chalked up one really famous song. And in this next recording, you can hear how that one song was included by Schwartz and Fields into By the Beautiful Sea. Now, the other thing worth adding about Wren Shields is that in his vaudeville days, he used to have a double act with a man called Maxie Million. Now, I always think what a pity it was that Million's surname wasn't Maximilian. Then he could have billed himself as Maximilian Maximilian. Somebody else who enjoyed a highly successful partnership with Dorothy Fields was Cy Coleman. Here's a rather less well-known number from the great success Sweet Charity.
Laugh all you want to, but I'm holding on to you right from here on in. You wanna bet you'll slough me off, and I'll beg till you soften, and 10-1 I'll win. You wanna bet on me, call me a pest, but quite strangely you'll be impressed. It's destiny then, by and by, we
Barbra Streisand, You Wanna Bet. Before we leave Dorothy Fields, I have in mind a song I've played once before. A song which is really quite unusual in that it wasn't published, wasn't written for a show, wasn't written for anything. It just turned up, a priceless byproduct of Miss Fields' working partnership with Arthur Schwartz. Nobody much ever seems to have bothered with it. But thanks to the inspired nepotism of Arthur's son Jonathan, the song has been recorded.
It isn't fun when you discover you're not the one big moment for your lover. This parting is overdue, but where do I go from you? So well begun, so neatly ended. I'll be your friend, but I won't be befriended. Lover, I wish I knew, where do I go from you? To the sky, to the sea, to the next best pair of arms. You're the sky, you're the sea, and there is no next best pair of arms. It isn't fun when you hang on to a darling foolish love who doesn't want to. Lover, I wish I knew, where do I go from you? To the sky, to the sea, to the next best pair of arms. You're the sky, you're the sea, and there is no next best pair of arms. It isn't fun when you hang on to a darling foolish love doesn't want to. Lover, I wish I knew just where do I go from you.
Where do I go from you, sung by Jonathan Schwartz, written by his father Arthur, in collaboration with the First Lady of popular songwriting, Dorothy Fields. Miss Fields was, of course, a well-read, erudite artist, somebody with a fine sensibility and a keen turn of wit. Not all songwriters are quite like her, and if we had to nominate somebody at the other end of the trade, the kind of lyricist whose rhymes often smell of stale cigar butts and the mysteriously rotating tassels of burlesque, what about Benny Davis, whose rhymes were so impertinently inaccurate that Howard Dietz once wrote a couplet expressing his horror of such work, Heaven Save Us from Benny Davis. It's interesting that in 1923 in America there were oil scandals, a Nicaraguan crisis, a League of Nations crisis, and perhaps worst of all, Calvin Coolidge in the White House. And with all these terrible problems looming and the world already headed for another mighty collision, who was the only man with an answer? Why, Benny Davis, who established himself in this year as one of the world's major philosophers, even if he did think that pine rhymed with time. After all, nobody's perfect, least of all Benny Davis. Here is his cure for the world's ills.
When you're blue and kinda lonely, need to. You'll find a smile will go a long, long way. Though you're down, don't sit around and frown. A little smile will go a long, long way. Never grieve, just try and make believe. The sky is blue, although you know it's gray. Don't you pine, it's just a waste of time. You'll find a smile will go a long, long way. When you're blue,
when you're blue,
and I'm a lonely too,
a lonely too,
smile will go a long, long way.
Though you're down,
don't sit around and frown. Smile will go a long, long way. Remember, never grieve, just try and make believe. The sky is blue, although you know.
A smile will go a long, long way. The Andrews Sisters with Billy May and Benny Davis saying, "Don't pine, it's a waste of time." The melody was written by Harry Axt, and I always seem to think of him linked with the man who always comes directly before him in the reference books, Fred Arlott. Now, by a coincidence, I came across a song of Arlott's the other day I hadn't heard before. And by another coincidence, the subject matter of the words is very close to "A Smile Will Go a Long, Long Way." This one came 10 years later, 1933, words by Edgar Leslie. And although it's not remotely in the class of Fred Arlott's big songs like "I'll Get By" and "Mean to Me," it is an interesting example of the American professional popular song of 50 years ago.
When I'm asleep, counting my sheep, I find your vision near. You fill the night with sweet delight. Then when you disappear, I wake up smiling, for there's no love like your love. I wake up smiling, and tonight there'll be more love. No clouds of gray can spoil my day. The whole world seems new. I wake up smiling after dreaming.
The singer who woke up smiling there was very nearly President of the United States, but not quite. It was Abby Lincoln. Before I take my leave this afternoon, I'd like to add a little something concerning the Warsaw emigre Mack Gordon, who did such sterling work with two partners, Harry Revel and Harry Warren. In this next Freak recording, he gets involved with both of his partners at the same time. The music is Revel's, the playing of it is Harry Warren's. And who can say if Warren's playing it wasn't a direct assault on Revel's music? But it's the singer who holds our attention. If you sometimes wonder how lyric writers regard their own work, here's the answer, as Mac Gordon tramples all over his own finest tunes.
Can you see me, or is this in the way? Here's hoping that you remember, love thy neighbor, and you will find your labor a great deal easier. Life will be breezier. I'm out of breath. If you love thy neighbor. Next key. We got it. Stay as sweet as you are. Don't let a thing ever change you. Stay as sweet as you are. Don't let a soul rearrange you. Did you? That's a cue. That's a definite cue. I swear it's a cue. Did you? What could it mean? Means did you ever see a dream? What? Go ahead. Did you ever see a dream? I did. If you ever hear a dream talking, well, I did. Make me feel good. Sing it along. Did you ever watch the dream? Will you be mine? Oh, it's so grand. Will you be mine? Sing.
The strangulated tenor of Mac Gordon, the arthritic piano of Harry Warren on a wonderful night in 1940, when all the major songwriters of America performed their own work at the San Francisco Exposition. If a song can survive that kind of ordeal, it can survive anything. And notice how Mac Gordon very nearly managed to finish in the same place as the orchestra. To close this afternoon, a final salute to Dorothy Fields.
Daddy started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean.
Suddenly a voice said, go for Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen.
And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons waiting to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your common law wife. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
To feel the rhythm of life, to feel the powerful beat, to feel the tingle in your fingers, to feel the tingle in your feet. Daddy, go, 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 go.
Daddy spread the gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge,
blew his way to Canton, then to Scranton, till he landed under the Manhattan Bridge.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built up quite an operation down below.
With the choir piper blowing, while the musket tell was flowing, all the cats were go-go-going
down below.
Daddy was a new sensation.
Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Fly, fly, fly to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy.
Swim, swim, swim to Daddy.
Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy.
Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy.
Hit the floor.
And that's it. See you same time next week.
And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Put the tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street.
Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
To feel the rhythm of life. To feel that powerful beat.
To feel the tingle in your fingers.
To feel the tingle in your feet.
Your wings and fly to your daddy. Take a dive and swim to your daddy.
Hit the floor and crawl to your daddy.
Daddy, we got the rhythm of life, of life, of life, of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
Yeah.
Sock it to me.
Yeah.
Let it all hang out.
You've been listening to In the Benny Green Archives here on lgradio.online. Please do visit the website to find out when the next episode is on, along with all our other shows. This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.